Galatians chapter 21. It's good to have Timothy back. Revelation 21. And I saw. And let's pray. Father, I pray that you speak to our hearts this evening. We'd be encouraged by the text, and that you have prepared for the future. Nothing that is going on in our world takes you by surprise. And you have a glorious future prepared for those who have received the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ, who have come to you in repentance and faith. And we are not afraid of those words. Those are Bible, King James Bible words. And we should not shy away from them. We thank you for that salvation. I pray for that person who has not received that gift of God. Gift, not by works. A gift cannot be worked for. They have not received that gift, that like Christian did on this past Sunday. I pray that a faithful soul winner like Brother Olmsted in the room this evening will be careful and faithful to point them to the way, the truth, and the life, our Lord and Savior Christ. And we'll thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. In the book of Revelation, "and I saw" is an interesting phrase. And every time you see that, something new is showing up. And so we have a new prophecy. Listen, if you knew little about the rapture, if you know enough about the tribulation period to make you dangerous, if you know that there's a battle, but you can't remember what it's called, and maybe you know there are two battles, a battle here at the end of the tribulation period called the Great White Throne Judgment, the Battle of Armageddon. And there's a battle that we talked about last week, Revelation chapter 20. It's the big battle, the final battle. But you don't know which one is where. You get them switched around and say, "Preacher, there's just so much to know." This topic this evening, Revelation chapter 21, you know even less about. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth." Why is that required? "For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw" — something new. What did he see? "The holy city." What is it called? "New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." And that preparation. A bride comes hours and hours and hours and hours before the wedding to get ready, put the things on and dresses on and gets the nails done and hair done. It's just like, and that illustration is given in verse 2. Verse 3, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men." Man, a great voice. "And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And don't miss this, God himself shall be with them." So again, going back several weeks ago, we have a tendency to focus on the place. We're going to go to heaven, and there we're going to be for all eternity. That's not true. Because during the second coming of Jesus Christ at the end of the tribulation period, the Bible says we're coming with him. For 1,000 years after the second coming of Jesus Christ, we're going to rule and reign with him here. This is not heaven. This is not heaven. And so don't miss the importance and the emphasis of eternity is not heaven. It's Jesus Christ. we are going to be with Him. God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, nor shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. We talked about that for just a little bit on Sunday. The outward man, I'm just looking around the room. Some of you look really good. Most of you do not. And you can figure out where that line of demarcation is. I look in the mirror, I can tell you I'm on the list of I do not look good anymore. This outward man is perishing. But the inward man ought to be renewed day by day. You talk to my dad. My dad's 95 years of age. He goes out for coffee in the morning. He gets up, gets his walker, goes out to the car, throws his walker in. He heads to town. He gets his coffee, goes to the grocery store. He's the first one at church. He's the last one to leave. Gets there about an hour before everybody else. You call him on the phone tonight, he won't pick up because you don't know the code. But anyways, you call him on the phone this evening and say, Mr. Bishop, do you have something you've seen from God's Word? And he'll tell you something that he got from God's Word today. 95 years of age. That outward man is perishing. But that inward man, and I'll tell you what, he is sharp. He's sharp mentally. That inward man is renewed day by day. Verse 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true. These words are faithful, true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Again, if you know, Christians know very little about end time events. There are some preachers that will not preach on a book of Revelation, end time events. It's just too much information for them. Well, study. It requires study. I was talking to someone just recently. This is my 30 years, time through the book of Revelation. I preached through Sunday school and the book of Revelation, and then on Sunday morning, I think the first time I went through the book of Revelation was on Sunday morning. I was 39 years of age, and my preacher friend, the older preacher friend, said, Brother Bishop, what are you preaching? I said, Sunday morning, I'm going through the book of Revelation. And they went, Really? Is that a good plan? I said, what do you mean? He said, people on Sunday morning, do you think they really have a stomach for something as deep and profound as the book of Revelation? The older preacher said to me, as they sat around the table, I looked back at them and I said, well, I figured two things were going to be happen. Number one, if they were a Christian and they knew Christ and they embraced God's Word, they'd be really excited about learning Bible truth. People that know Christ are really excited about studying prophecy, end time events, book of Revelation. He said, well, what about those people that don't know Christ? I said, figure it, scare the living daylights out of them, and they'll come to know Christ as their Savior. I mean, tell you what, if you get the book of Revelation, those scorpions are coming at you, I'd be running to the altar. I'd be running to the altar. It's a powerful book that should not be ignored. God did not put it in there. Specifically, He did not put this at the end to minimize it. How many people do we have in the room? You read a book, you read the last chapter first. Do you have any last chapter readers? Thank you for not letting me be the only one. I like to read the last chapter first. I like to know where the book is going. I want to know how it's going to end. Mrs. Bishop thinks that's crazy, but she married me. So the fact that this is at the end... What chapter? Do you remember chapter 5 in a book? Chapter 6? I don't know what's in there. What's in the last chapter? Oh, let me tell you how the book ends. Everybody talks about that. This, at the end, is strategically placed by God. This is a new heaven and a new earth. This is not an earth renovation project. We're not submitting plans to redo it. We're not going from old to, I don't know what these terms mean, but Mrs. Bishop uses them, and it makes me sound intelligent around her, to mid-century modern. I do not know what that means, but she does. This is God putting out the old, and this is a brand new act of creation. And it's not just mentioned in Revelation chapter 20. So here's, we know a lot about, compared to Revelation 21, we know a lot about the tribulation period, the seal judgments, the trumpet judgments, the vial judgments. We know the midpoint of the tribulation period. We know the treaty being broken. We know we know about the Antichrist. We know the number of the beast, 666. What do you know about the new heaven and new earth? Not much. God doesn't tell us much about it. He does tell us what he wants to know. Why doesn't God tell us? Stay tuned. In about 17 minutes, I'm going to tell you why I think God hasn't told us any more about the new heaven and new earth than what is mentioned here in a couple other places, Isaiah, Peter as well. Matthew chapter 24 talks about it. Matthew chapter 24, verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Mark wrote about it. Mark chapter 13, verse 31. And what did he write? Heaven and earth, same thing. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Very seldom do you see three of the gospel writers reference the new heaven and new earth, but Luke does as well. Luke chapter 16, chapter 21, verse 33, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Luke chapter 16, verse 17 is an interesting passage, and that says, Luke writing, it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail. And you can trust God's word. You say, man, how in the world is the earth and the heaven going to pass away? And somebody asked me this week, I don't know, probably reading ahead and knowing that we're in chapter 1, Pastor, where are we going to be? Like, God doesn't know that. Like, God, where am I going to put everybody? That's not a problem for God. He's got it all figured out. And I'll tell you what I told him in about 15 minutes. 2 Peter chapter 3, but the day of the Lord shall come. It shall. Shall is a great legal word. Not may come, not might come. Not probably come, but shall come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. What do we know? Okay, there's a lot that we don't know, but what do we know about this new heaven and new earth? Verse 1 says, there'll be no more sea. Now, for those of you that like the ocean, I'm sorry. And no more sea. That doesn't say there won't be any more water. There might be a lake. I don't know. But it said no more sea. How is that different? A lot of the earth is covered with water. Sea. The majority of the earth's surface covered with water. There will be no more sea. Do you ever wonder why? Most of the seas, Atlantic Ocean, Indian Ocean, Pacific Ocean, salt water. Salt is an antiseptic for disease. The impurities, you think about the impurities of the world flow into the salt water. But in heaven, that's not going to be necessary because there's not going to be sin there. No more sea. That's just interesting. New Jerusalem is going to be there. Earlier, and I think last week we mentioned this just briefly, but as we went through the book of Revelation, God called that place Sodom and Egypt. Why? Because it is wicked. The number one hotspot in the world, number one hotspot for homosexuality is Tel Aviv. That's a destination point where they go. And so now and throughout the tribulation period, God calls it Sodom. And there's a reason why. And Egypt, typical of the world. But it's going to be a new Jerusalem. A beautiful recreation. The holy city, New Jerusalem. Holy city is spoken of in Nehemiah chapter 11. Verses 1, verse 18. Daniel and Isaiah refer to New Jerusalem as the holy city. But up until this point, this is a change. And I saw, again, a new revelation, a new heaven and a new earth. And that new city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. The old city, polluted, corrupt. But New Jerusalem, where will it come from? Will come down from God out of heaven. Where is it today? I don't know. You seen any cities coming down from heaven recently? I haven't. John chapter 14, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. So my dad, and I just talked about this 2 weeks ago, and my dad, he's got lots of time to think about biblical application, and he loves the book of Revelation. Again, he was my teacher. Most of this I did not learn in Bible college. I learned from sitting at the feet of my dad. I say, well, he was a preacher. He was a meat cutter at A&P. But he loved God's Word. Absolutely loved God's Word. And this is what he says about John chapter 14. He said, I think all the building's already done. That God's hanging pictures. He's preparing the place, painting the walls, putting the tapestries in, putting the furnishings in. That's an interesting thought. He said, I can't prove that from God's Word. He said, it's just what I think. So don't look for a chapter and verse on that. What is the thrust? Verse 3. God himself shall be with them. God dwells with man. As you travel through the book of Revelation, you'll see, and I saw, you will hear the words, and a reference to a great voice or a loud voice. The significance of Revelation 21, verse 3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, if you like, little tidbits, trivia, this is the last one right here. It's occurred many times throughout the book of Revelation, but this is the last time it occurs. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, this is the last pronouncement, if you will. God declares, the tabernacle of God with men, God will be present with man and the new earth and the new Jerusalem, the new heaven. John chapter 1, verse 14. Dwell at where I am, there ye may be also. Let me look at John chapter 1, verse 14. Imagine the privilege of dwelling with God. You know, John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and did what? And dwelt among us. I don't know that the disciples really grasped that. I don't know that the disciples today really grasp that. That the Holy Spirit, when you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, came inside to live. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And what a privilege. And we beheld what? We beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And what a privilege. Also found in the book of Revelation, chapter 21. And not only will there be no more sea, but there will be no more tears. No more tears. God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. Preacher, what's the city look like? There'll be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain, no more death. No more tears. The old earth is gone. The old earth is gone, and the sorrow that is associated with that earth is gone as well. Again, God, what about the new heaven and new earth do we know? Very little. But God tells us what we need to know. These things will be gone. The sorrow will be gone. And what will happen? Verse 5, behold, I make, what is that? Creation. What? All things new. New. How reliable is the text? True and faithful. It's absolutely reliable. Sin has been finally put to death. The kingdom now fit for God. Verse 6, it is done. The Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first and the last. The faithful and true. And in this text are three wonderful promises. I will give. I love that. I will give. What is that? Abundant blessings which flow from our salvation in Jesus Christ. What more do you need? Second, inherit all things. Who is the overcomer? Well, the overcomer will be the saved person. When the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Will you? And that is the question. I was traveling today, and there was a fella with an orange vest on, and he stopped me. Now, there was nobody coming the other way. And there was nobody behind me. I don't recommend you do this. I took my seatbelt off. I opened the car door. I got out. I walked around the back. I walked up to him and gave him a gun. Here, stop me in traffic. There's no reason to stop me in traffic. I'm going to give you a gospel tract. I just figured that's why he was stopping me. He needed a witness. I handed him a gospel tract. And I said, hey, you just stopped the preacher. And I'm here to tell you, God loves you. He's got a plan for your life. And he said, you have no idea. You don't have enough time for me to tell you my testimony. He's a fellow, he lives down off of Route 1. 40 years ago, was in a life of drugs and alcohol and all kinds of vices. And here's this guy, stop, right? Nobody behind, still nobody behind me, Ray. Ray's thinking, I'm pulling behind you. You're the kind of guy that I hate. I can see it on his face. And he's telling me, he said, I was there and I was in this. He said, the problem with the world today is that they think that they're going to turn over a new leaf. He said, you can't do it. You got to get saved. You got to trust Christ first, and Christ gave me the ability to leave all that behind. It was a great, by the side of the road, conversation. And then he let me go. There was still nobody behind me. There was still nobody coming towards me. I think he just stopped just to talk to me. I think. It's just exciting. Salvation is exciting. Knowing Christ. And I said to him, it's good to meet a brother in Christ. He took his glove off and he shook my hand. And then he realized he shook my left hand and his left hand. So then he took his right glove off and he shook my hand with his right hand too on the side of the road. It's exciting to people that know Christ. Number three, God will be their God. If you have received the gift of God, which is eternal life, you are a child of God. Not everyone are children of God. You are of your children the devil without Christ. But in Christ, you're a new creature. And we are called. 2 Corinthians 6:17, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. God's children should not live or look like the devil himself or the devil's kids. Why? Because we're a new creation. Contrast. You contrast Romans, it's kind of an interesting, I love the book of Romans. You contrast Romans with Revelation. Revelation has a phrase, especially in these verses, that talk about new heaven and new earth. Romans has a different phrase. When Paul, in the book of Romans, talking about it, he says, and much more abound, much more is a phrase, reoccurring phrase in the book of Romans. But you will not find much more. In Revelation 21, you will find no more. No more death, no more sorrow, no more suffering, no more parting, no more tears, no more death. No more death. And in Revelation 21, we are given this last glimpse into eternity. And people ask me the question, what's my mansion going to look like? What kind of furnishings are going to be in there? What am I going to do? Who am I going to hang around? And it just boggles my mind that a person can be saved, know Christ, for 50 years and be focused on a place. We should be focused on a person. The person is Jesus Christ. And I will dwell with them. That where I am, there ye may be also. To the thief on the cross, he said, today thou shalt be with me. The thief on the cross was not worried about a mansion, what kind of pictures were hanging on the wall. He just wanted to be with Jesus. Why doesn't God tell us more about the new heaven, the new earth, the new Jerusalem? Because that's really nothing. Because eternity is about the person of God, God's love for you. He created you knowing that you were going to sin, knowing that you were going to struggle with sin, knowing that you were going to struggle with vile sin, knowing that He was going to go to the cross and have to pay the penalty for that sin. So that He could have a relationship with you right now and for all eternity. So my question to you, the relationship that you have right now with Jesus Christ, is it worth the price that He had to pay on Calvary's cross? If not, we ought to fix that. Father, thank You for Your grace and Your goodness. We thank You for Your salvation. We thank You for what You have told us. And we thank You that You have not told us more. But You have put the emphasis where we should be putting the emphasis. That You will dwell with us. And we will dwell with You. And You will be our God. And we will be Your sons and daughters. Throughout all eternity, we rejoice in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.